All right. Well, thank you, everybody. My name is Jim Bullion. I'm the Director of Government Affairs for Renew Wisconsin, and I'm very honored to be the moderator for a panel talking about some of the policy issues that are facing Wisconsin and the energy industry. I have some questions to get started, but at your table are some cards. So if you would like to ask a question of one of the panelists or all of the panel, feel free to write a question. We'll only have time for two or three probably, but write your question down. We'll have some people walking around that would be willing to take the cards and bring them up. We'll bring them up to Tyler, and he will get them to us. So with that, let me get started and introduce our tremendous panel here. In January of 2019, Chairperson Becky Vock was appointed by Governor Tony Evers as Commissioner of the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin for a six-year term and was named Chairperson in March. Prior to her appointment to the PSC, Becky was a partner at the Quarles & Brady Law Firm in the Energy, Environment, and Natural Resources Practice Group. Previous to that, she was Regulatory Counsel for Wisconsin Electric Power Company. Next to Becky is Senator Rob Coles. He's a Republican from Green Bay and was first elected to the State Assembly in 1982. He was then elected to represent the State Senate District in the Senate District and 2nd District in Green Bay in 1987, and he still serves in that capacity. Rob is chair of the Senate Committee on Natural Resources and Energy and is a member of the Speaker's Task Force on Water Quality. Next on the panel is Representative Greta Neubauer. She's a Democrat from Racine and was elected to represent the 66th Assembly District in January of 2018 in a special election and was reelected that fall in November. So Greta is a member of the Assembly Committee on Environment as well as the Governor's Task Force on Climate Change. And on the end of the panel is Representative Adam Nealon, and he's a Republican from Pewaukee, and he's been representing the 98th Assembly District since 2013. Adam is a member of the Assembly Committee on Energy and Utilities. He's also co-chair of the Bipartisan Wisconsin Futures Caucus and was recently recognized nationally as one of the Millennial Action Project's rising stars. So welcome. Thank you for our panel.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for coming. As you can tell from the slides, it's been an exciting year. A lot of things have been happening in our world. And from your end, we're very interested to see how this last year went. Chairman Vock, you had an especially interesting year, having completed your first full year.
Yes.
So we'll start out with just sort of a recap of how did 2019 go, what issues were you working on, and how are they standing right now?
Well, I think Michael did an excellent job of showing sort of the broad array of projects that were either permitted in 2019 or broke ground in 2019. At the commission, I've asked a couple of times, is it always going to be this unprecedented in terms of the volume of cases that we've seen? But I think it's an exciting time to be in the industry. As you saw, we permitted close to 600 megawatts of utility-scale solar. We also permitted a highly controversial transmission line. And we saw and engaged in a healthy amount of debate about the necessity for that line and how it can serve as the backbone to bring renewable energy into Wisconsin. We're also seeing different programs being presented by utilities. And that's a good thing to see, because I think as we start this conversation about how we're going to get down the path to zero carbon, it's going to take innovation. It's going to take research. It's going to take technology. So it's been 2019 was also a year where we saw some innovative proposals from utilities, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of those.
Senator Coles.
Yeah, thank you very much for inviting me, Jim, and welcome everybody. Happy New Year. I was happy to see the utility scale projects. I applauded those. I think those breakthrough things happening in our state. In the state budget, we put $25 million into state facility energy efficiency. That was down from what the governor proposed, but it was a pretty good chunk. Environmental trust financing, which I passed with the representative, then Speaker Jensen, some 15 years ago, was finally used, and hopefully that can be used further. Thank you, Becky.
Right.
In the commission, that's one way to, I think, break through the barriers going forward. If perhaps we have to expand the environmental trust financing, and finally, with Adam and some others, we've We've got the bill on workforce development to put $1 million from our workforce development base money into training for solar and wind workers. So those are some of the things going on. But a great year, yeah. I think.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Excited to be here. Thanks to Renew for having me. So this was my first full year in session and was very excited just last December to introduce a package of bills called Forward on Climate. That included four bills looking at renewable energy efficiency and really getting to the root of this issue. So those I'll just briefly mention, and happy to chat with folks after if you want more details on these. But they included a Green Bank study. So we know that we're going to need some resources to finance commercially viable projects and also to address challenging issues like getting renewables on low-income housing and training the workforce that we need. We had a carbon sequestration grant program. So, of course, farmers have been some of our best conservationists in Wisconsin, and we want to support them, particularly in these challenging times for our farmers, to make some additional resources and help our state sequester carbon. We did a grant for school energy efficiency and weatherization. Increase our kids' well-being. You know, we've all seen those pictures on the news of kids in public schools wearing their winter jackets. We can address that issue. We can reduce costs long-term for our school districts. And then also introduced a bill requesting that the Public Service Commission look at the social cost of carbon when they're siting new projects, taking into account all of those costs. So hoping that those bills will get a committee hearing, reach out to your legislators, ask them to co-sponsor. And, you know, I would say the other big things folks have been mentioning, sort of these factors, you know, beyond just the capital that have been going on in the last year, of course, really exciting to see, you know, BlackRock's announcement this week of their consideration of climate in their investments. You know, went to the Wisconsin Green Business Council conference this year. They are far ahead of state government in terms of recognizing the need to invest in renewables and make sustainability part of their everyday practice. And then also, of course, as someone who used to work with young people on the issue of climate change, I'm really excited to see how this conversation has really expanded. Of course, young people really taking the charge on this issue, but also really communities that haven't been at the forefront of this conversation in the past but are directly impacted by these issues, communities of color, low income, elderly, rural folks. So very excited about these changes in the last year.
Thank you. Representative Nayland.
Well, so I'm last. All the good stuff's already been said already, but see what I can do here. So this session, I work with the senator here, Senator Coles, and we put together a package of bills. One of the ones that I was most proud of that was briefly mentioned in the last one was to create something called the Clean Energy Corridor, which would put electric vehicle charging stations throughout the state, through the interstate system, near exits, and provide certainty to people traveling through Wisconsin. We wanted to use $10 million from the Volkswagen Settlement Fund and create a matching grant program. The basics of this idea was put into the governor's budget that was approved by the legislature, so we will see some of that funding. It's not exactly the plan that I had, but politics is compromised, right? So another thing that was briefly mentioned that I've been working on is to provide more funding for workforce development for clean energy jobs. And the last thing that is really an interesting thing that I've been trying to dig into and learn a little bit more about is something called green energy tariffs, where people, residential customers, can opt in to pay a little bit more of a premium for clean energy or renewable energy in their home. A lot of utility companies offer this option. So we were looking at how can we incentivize this type of behavior? Not reinvent the wheel, but look at encouraging people to opt into this so it's a choice. That's one thing that I care a lot about, is providing a structure to allow people to make the right choice instead of mandating that we must do this, because ultimately innovation and consumers are going to lead to the type of change that we want to see with renewables. And I think that if we can incentivize the behavior or maybe help pay that premium so it's not really much of a premium at all, I think more people will opt into that and more renewable energy projects will start to be utilized as well.
Thank you. That workforce development bill that you both mentioned had a hearing in the State Assembly at the end of 2019, and next Thursday there's a hearing in the State Senate. So we're working on a bipartisan basis with leaders and on both sides of the aisle. We hope that that still has a chance to get done this year if we can get through the committees. But again, as was mentioned, you need to talk to your legislators if you want to get proactive things like that done. And this one is a bipartisan bill and I think benefits the entire state. So next, let's talk about what Governor Evers kind of took the point on. He declared that he'd like the state of Wisconsin to be 100% clean energy by 2050. It's an ambitious goal. There's a lot that goes into that. So I've got kind of a two-part question. Why don't we do the first part and ask, is that possible? Can we really do that? And what are the types of things we're going to need to do to get that done? And then we'll follow up with what some of the hurdles are. But why don't we start with the positives? What do we need to do?
Let's start. I believe that we need to, the technology has to move forward on storage. I'm not sure it's there yet. I think that's one impediment, and you know, perhaps we can incentivize that some way in our state. You know, the utility scale solar, which has been talked about here, those are great leaps forward. You know, we're going to do more of those. More of the coal plants will be phased out, the older ones, and I don't know if we can do it all by then, but I think we can make some big strides along with using the environmental trust financing, the bonds so cheap right now, and a little bit of will. But there are definitely impediments, and I think it's mostly technological at this point.
So this one I get a little fired up about. I talk about coming up with a roadmap to get us to zero carbon. And I'm always careful to draw the distinction. It's not 100% renewable energy. It can't be. It's carbon-free energy production. And we also have to keep in mind that the transportation sector plays a role in emitting, as does the industrial sector. So sometimes I think that gets lost in the conversation. But in terms of energy production, electricity production, yes, I think we're going to get there. I absolutely think we will get there. It's going to take some grit and it's going to take determination, but I have no doubt that we will get there. Wisconsin has always been a leader when it comes to energy policy, but I think that we all have to accept the fact that it's going to take an all-of-the-above approach. It can't be just solar and wind. We have to talk about energy efficiency. We have to talk about conservation. We have to talk about technology. I'm a technology optimist. I think that, again, in Wisconsin, we've got the grit and we've got the determination to come up with the technological solutions that it's going to take to get us there. Because if I survey the landscape right now and I look at the mix of nuclear, coal, natural gas, and then renewable resources, there's going to be a gap, and we have to find a way to fill the gap, keeping in mind that what's most important is that our sources of energy are reliable and that they're also cost effective. So there are a lot of moving pieces, which is why my goal for 2020 is to come up with this roadmap to identify the gaps and to identify where we're going to need innovation and technology to help, as the senator indicated, get us there. But I have no doubt we will get there.
Well, I think that's a great point. And I mean, just look at some of the innovations you've seen recently in the nuclear sector. You know, that's not renewable, but it is carbon-free. And there's been really important work done. Bill Gates, for instance, has been working. His like main project right now is to develop nuclear power plants that don't have any waste byproduct. And they say that they have those designs and then they can do it. What we need is investment and people being able to cite those things. A couple sessions ago, we passed to end the nuclear moratorium in Wisconsin. You know, that could be an option. But I just want to say, I mean, 2050, like, think back what 30 years ago looked like. from what I remember, it was a lot different. And technology is increasing like exponentially, right? So 2050, we'll probably have, nobody will be driving, we'll be taking drone taxis all over the place. You know, it's really hard to predict. But I will say that I believe truly that if we do get there, it's not going to come from government saying we must do this. It's going to come from consumers. It's going to come from innovation. It's going to come from people saying we need to do renewables. And it's not going to be just government passing another renewable energy portfolio saying we have to do this. I think it's going to come from consumers. It's going to come from innovation. It's going to come from electric storage. It's going to come from nuclear. It's going to come from things that we need to think outside the box and might not even exist in the current concept.
Well, we won't even be in the Future Caucus in 30 years. So. I would say yes and to all of these things. We do see consumers, businesses leading, and we also know that climate change is advancing really rapidly. As was mentioned, I represent Racine, and we have a state of emergency in Racine right now because our shoreline is falling into the water. The district next to mine has a house that one more storm, it's probably going to be in the water, right? And it was secure not long ago, really just before this last set of storms. We, of course, see farmers who are really directly feeling the impact. So I would say we have to get there by 2050. I would say we have to get there sooner. And we do have technological challenges to overcome, which maybe is part B of this question. But in my mind, right, we as policymakers are the ones who can help advance those more quickly. So if we've got an issue with solar storage, we should be doing everything we can, and I know the PSC is leading on some of this, right, to create a sandbox for innovation, to move forward these conversations, to support the UW system innovators in Wisconsin to make progress on those issues. You know, I would say also two of the major crises we have in Wisconsin are a good jobs crisis and inequality. And addressing this issue and doing it as quickly as possible with support from the legislature and government and administration, it's critical. So I'm really excited to see this conversation recognize those opportunities that we have, and that's really how I think about this issue. We, of course, are going to see increasing impacts on people in Wisconsin and around the world. And we also have an opportunity to use this crisis to make life better for people in Wisconsin, and the sooner the better.
Oh, thank you. That was, you have me upbeat and optimistic that we can get this done. We're going to talk about what some of the specific road bumps and challenges are in just a second, but I do want to remind people, if you want to get a question in for the panelists, you're going to have, if we got some volunteers, if you could hold up your cards, and we'll have some people come and collect those and bring them up so that we can ask a couple more questions. We want them to be friendly questions, but we want to know what you're thinking. All right, so let's talk about, all right, this isn't going to be easy. A couple of you guys mentioned it. There's some challenges that are out there. Some things that maybe you can talk about, maybe some things you can't talk about because of your position as a commissioner. What are some of the hurdles? What do you think we have to overcome that are going to be really tough?
I would say number one would just be the public perception that it's so much more expensive to do renewables. I think the cost is coming down, you know, and it's continuing to be more and more competitive. So I think the overcoming a public perception that the only reason someone would want to do renewables would be environmental, I think it's actually cost competitive. And that way, if we can, I have this idea that you can talk to different people different ways and still mean the same thing, right? When you talk to somebody, sometimes if you talk about the environment. For some people, you talk about cost savings and you talk about efficiency. And ultimately, you're getting to the same place, right? More renewables, right? Better for the environment. So I think overcoming these obstacles of, for one, just how we talk to each other and also the public perception of why we do what we do, I think is a major challenge. But I also just think in general, I mean, we're in the political world, so it would, I think it's, you know, important for me to mention, sometimes politics is an issue, right? I mean, politics can be very difficult. I mean, look at just the electric vehicle. Everybody seemed to agree that it was a good idea, and there was two different competing versions of it, and you have this battle about who gets credit for what, and it's like, well, who cares who gets credit? Let's just get it done. And I think we all need to just work to get things done, and it doesn't matter about who gets credit. And I think if we can overcome those obstacles in the political world and just try to work together to actually accomplish something instead of it just being this political gamesmanship like it's some sort of sport, I think we'll be able to accomplish a lot together.
Yeah, we really appreciate your efforts with the Millennial Action Project and the Wisconsin Futures Caucus, bringing that conversation to a point where you can have a conversation about issues and not politics and personalities. So that's really, I give you guys a lot of credit for doing that.
And we I think we all briefly touched on the technology. I look at them as possibilities, not necessarily hurdles. I think if we engage our UW system and the extension system and our technology, our technical colleges, I think that we will definitely find the technological needs. The one thing that keeps me up at night is, in order to get to zero carbon, it is going to necessarily require the early retirement of coal facilities. And Senator Coles mentioned the use of securitization back in 2019, and that I view as a win. But as we start looking at the landscape, what's important to me as the regulator is what I don't want to have happen is, okay, we're going to prematurely shut down a coal plant, and then we're also going to spend $100 million in capital on new projects, because that ultimately puts an upward pressure on rates. And there has to be a better way of going about it. And securitization perhaps gets us part of the way, but I want to be mindful of, are there other ways of incenting public utilities? So for hundreds of years, the model has been put more steel in the ground because you'll earn a higher return. Are there ways that we can look at alternative rate making or performance-based rate making where we are incenting the type of behavior we'd like to see rather than just this continuous push to put steel in the ground? So that's kind of where I look at it.
You know, none of us have mentioned so far the Focus on Energy program. It's now been in place for some time. Great success. Tremendous payback. Suppressing demand, I think it's important that we keep making that program work really well. And it's important to have commissioners, and I'm sure Becky agrees and is doing that, that the reason we put it over at the Public Service Commission is some of those have been around for a few years. That thing was rated substantially. $100 million was taken from it. So we'd be further along right now on sustainability and moving forward to the zero goal if that hadn't happened some 12 years ago. Okay, so now it's over there. The raids have been minimal now. I mean, there have been some things that happened that I wasn't before you were around that I didn't appreciate, that were not energy efficiency directly. Mm-hmm. So we've got to continue to make that program work well, hold demand down, and I think it's played an excellent role in avoiding some additional plants. Yes. So that's something that I can do as long as I'm in a position of advocacy there and a position of influence. So,
sure. As I mentioned, I do think there's so much potential for Wisconsin to be a leader in addressing some of these, let's say, sticky issues or hurdles, like battery storage, also like biogas. Right, renewable natural gas. We saw these programs advancing in Wisconsin. We've got a dairy crisis. Mm-hmm. We've got struggling farmers, and we also have a need to transition off of natural gas and off of fossil fuels. And so I think there's a lot of potential there, and Wisconsin could be a leader in that field. I absolutely see that as a potential bipartisan conversation. And then, of course, you know, really appreciate the leadership at the PSC on this, but looking at these, you know, in the near future, stranded assets, how are we going to have that conversation? How are we going to make sure that that's not hurting ratepayers, that we're recognizing our duty in the state to support low rates and also move forward towards renewable energy and create those good jobs. So excited about that bipartisan conversation as well.
If I could just add also, I just thought of one thing, and I'll be brief. Well, one of the challenges we have is in this industry is often a lack of competition, especially with the utility companies. I mean, if we could do third-party financing and allow people to put solar panels up and get financed by the companies that are installing them, I think that would go a long way. And I think that overcoming that obstacle and opening it up for more competition and being able to compete with utilities, they would hate to hear that, and they know how I feel about that. And I think if we were able to do third-party financing, it would be beneficial.
Yeah, the upfront cost. Yeah, clearly the upfront cost for any customer-owned renewable energy, even though there's a benefit and a payback on multiple levels, that upfront cost is one of the huge hurdles. We have to find creative ways to do it. Your green financing idea, your green bank, third-party financing are all ideas that, and we need to work with all of those shareholders to make sure that people aren't left out and there aren't one side subsidizing the other as much as we can, but we need the market forces and the competition to really work if we're going to get to that 100% goal at the end of the day. So, Tyler, have you got some questions for me, or should I go to the back?
I've got a number of good ones.
While Tyler's making his way, I just want to make one point, because Senator Coles, you made an excellent point about focus, and that is, one thing where we have begun to lag over the last decade or so has been in our building standards. So when we talk about good building practices and when we talk about development, we need to update our building codes. And that's something that we are trying to get focused to take a look at together with some other industry leaders, because If we can't have modern day building codes that encourage efficiency, we're going to keep spinning our wheels, and it's going to be harder and harder to achieve demand reductions.
Thank you. All right, we had a whole bunch of questions. I'm sorry if we can't get to everybody's question, but clearly we only have about 15 minutes left to cover the panel. So we picked out a couple that I think cover some interesting ground. So the first one is, what can we do to convince the governor to approve Tesla to establish stores to sell EVs in Wisconsin? This may not be in your bailiwick, but certainly an issue that people are interested in.
I would be interested in that as well.
How do we get there? Is that something that you think has a future in Wisconsin?
Grady, you want to take that one?
Do you want to start?
I think we should. I mean, I could you guys help with that? I mean, that would definitely be a positive thing. I think it kind of became a political issue a little bit in the budget. I don't know if people followed closely about how that worked, but I think there were some personalities at play and some things that weren't necessarily 100% about the policy, but I am optimistic that as we continue to discuss this issue and as it becomes a little bit more clear and the facts do emerge and it's not political, like I mentioned in my last answer, sometimes politics can be the problem, right? Sometimes politics gets in the way of good policy. So I think that as we continue to educate people on this issue, there's continue to be people reaching out, advocacy, letting people know. You know, if his phone rings 1,000 times about this issue, he's going to pay attention to it. I mean, that's not just him. That's politics,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and if you want to take that question, not just Tesla, but the whole EV issue, you know, what do we need to do to make EVs grow in the state? Tesla's a great entry to that question. So if the other panelists
As an advocate of hybrid cars, and you know, I was the oddity driving that first Prius back in 2001. It was a bit of an odd-looking car. But I'm still driving a hybrid car. That tech, I mean, the hybrid technology was in one or two cars back in 2000. Now it's in 30, 40 vehicles. I mean, it's prolific.
A lot more coming.
Big time. So I'm not sure. I've got to think about, you know, what we could do as far as the pure electric cars. Mm-hmm. I sense, I've got feeling that it's just going to take off on its own. Mm-hmm. And the question is, do we have to pay for the charging stations, or will that happen on its own? You know, we had the initiative Adam mentioned. That's in problem territory right now. So
there is a collaboration of, I think even Amazon's involved in this, and maybe Toyota. They're putting a bunch of money into charging stations. What I think would be beneficial is if we could have some sort of public-private collaboration, and that's where my legislation came in to kind of incentivize this to try to help, because I think we need like the super fast, those like the high-end charging stations to provide people certainty when they drive around the state, both when they visit the state and both when they travel around, just to have that certainty. And if there was that certainty that, you know, their charging stations would be as prevalent as McDonald's, a lot more people would be comfortable utilizing them.
Right. Yeah.
Chairman Vuck, you've got an open docket on EVs.
We do.
What's going on with that?
Yes. So we've just had incredible amounts of participation and support, which is great to see. But what's helpful for us is that these types of workshops and generic proceedings help to shine a light on issues that maybe we weren't thinking of. And range anxiety is the number one barrier to acceptance of EVs. And you can get into a chicken or the egg argument with people who say, well, we don't need charging stations until we have wider adoption. We won't have wider adoption until we have charging stations. So what our goal is with that open docket is to gather information and figure out where it makes sense to have policy and where it makes sense to have the market lead the way. But in terms of actually having Tesla establish a store, I don't quite understand what the impediment is, because I would love to have one. I'd love to drive one. So I don't know what the workings are and why that would be, why it's prohibited. Is it maybe we need to talk to the car dealers?
Well, that's a big part of it.
Yeah, right.
Sure, yeah. I'll just add a little bit. You know, I'm one of those people, right, who was just last year buying a new car, right, looking at the models, had to buy an American car, right, with that union sticker on it, so there's only a few on the market. And, you know, I drive all around the state. I needed to get a hybrid rather than just an electric car. And if that's true for me, right, that's true for most people in Wisconsin. So I do think we're moving forward really quickly. I mean, really the conversation on this in the last year in Wisconsin has dramatically changed, right? With the bipartisan agreement that we need to invest the VW money in this way, with these ideas coming out from a number of legislators and policymakers. So it's very exciting. And yes, the specific Tesla conversation is a little more complicated and longer term, but open to all those conversations. So.
All right, another question. This is a topic nobody's really touched on yet, but it's kind of interesting. It talks about offshore wind. You know, everybody talks about offshore wind off the Atlantic in particular, you know, all the ocean space they have out there. But we've got some pretty big bodies of water right next to Wisconsin. Is that possible, feasible, desirable? What's your thought about offshore wind in the Great Lakes?
I definitely think it's possible. I think this one is going to be, it's going to be a race to see who comes up with it first. So it's going to be Wisconsin leading the way, or it's going to be Michigan leading the way. And I think it depends on a lot of factors. But I definitely think it's possible. It's just a matter of what does it look like.
Racine is excited. You know, as I said, we're feeling the impacts of this issue. We've made a commitment to uphold the Paris Climate Accords as a city. So the mayor and others are really excited about this potential and looking forward to continuing that conversation.
Well, what's interesting is there's actually companies right now that want to do this in Lake Michigan, right? Like, tomorrow, if they was approved. And it's true that there is kind of this race, because whatever state allows this or approves it or, you know, puts the regulatory framework in place, there's probably only going to be one state that's able to capitalize on this in Lake Michigan, and who's going to do it? And I've had meetings about this, and the number one question is, well, where are we going to put it? But now that I know Racina's interested, maybe we can make something happen.
Senator Coles, you've got a big lake up there.
I hadn't thought about it in long. I thought this issue had died. I think the solar, putting the solar, I think it's more cost effective than putting it out in Lake Michigan. And I think you're going to run headlong into a very powerful recreational industry that is not going to be movable.
Yeah, I think politically it's not possible, to be honest.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we have to face all those realities. Right. You know, technology is one factor, but politics is just as important.
Right.
And we need to have those conversations, and some things are happening, some aren't.
Yeah, right.
I got one more audience question that should get us to kind of the close here. Renewables is growing, but it's still small, especially from an advocacy standpoint. How can the renewable industry and supporters advocate at the legislature? What is it that they're not doing or they should do to help move the ball on all these issues? Or at the PSC?
Sure. I can start. Great question. So as I mentioned, I formerly was an organizer working with the youth climate movement, so I'm always excited when people ask this question. I would say for starters, it really does matter to write and communicate with and show up to your legislators' office hours. People sort of think we get a lot of communication, and that's not always true. If we get 10 letters on something, we really take note of that because it's not very common that we get 10 letters in our office on something. So would really encourage folks to do that. You know, something that I see, we've sort of alluded to this, I think, as the legislators on the panel, is that a lot of our colleagues don't realize, like many members of the public, how far technology has advanced in the last few years, right? And this conversation is maybe a few years behind in thinking that it's going to cost more or place a burden, or all of a sudden you don't get to go visit your kids across the country because you can't take an airplane, right? The conversation has really moved forward, and so showing up and educating your legislators about that is really valuable. They're looking for folks to support in advocating for policies that benefit your communities and your districts and your small businesses and larger businesses. So that, I think, is really important. And, you know, you can follow along. Renew does a great job of highlighting the policy that's coming out. As they do, right, if you were to show up and say, hey, I'd like to organize, you know, some of our folks to have a lobby day or go around and talk to people on this, I won't speak for Renew, but they might be interested, you know. So that's what I would say. I would say it really matters to show up, and for you all, particularly for industry folks, to say, this is going to really benefit my small business, this is going to increase good jobs in this state, I think that's huge.
Senator?
They're doing it. They may not be contacting legislators so much, although that, Greg, I totally agree, they should continue to do that. But the utilities know that all those millennials out there and roughly that age group, they want to buy renewable energy. And that's playing a role along with the technology advancements. Let's face, and that's good. So, like always in the history of man, young people will drive the agenda, and they're driving it now.
I think it's always important to remember that all politics is local, right? So sometimes it's not just a matter of contacting your state representative or the governor's office, but work with your local municipality. I mean, what Michael showed, some of those projects, those started at the local level. And there's a lot of power, pardon the pun, in working on a local level. There are really innovative plans that cities, towns, and villages can come up with, sort of because they're not held to the same standards as maybe a statewide RPS or a statewide siting rule. So I would just put a plug in for don't forget about your local communities and your local electeds.
Nothing more to add. That was great.
Okay. Well, we're just about done, so I want to give everybody just a minute or two to kind of wrap up. Any closing thoughts, things you're working on that they need to work on? How do you want to leave your lasting legacy with your last words?
I would implore everybody to help us at the PSC create that roadmap. It's going to take a lot of innovation. It's going to take collaboration. It's going to take input. And tell us, what do you want to hear from us? I think that one of the greatest opportunities we have at the Commission is that we can convene these open generic investigations and we can get a cross section of participants that we saw that in the EV docket. So tell us what you want us to dive into. Because these issues are important and it's important that we take a look at them through different lens.
For me, continue to advocacy for the bill that we're working on for more training for solar and wind workers. And it's a bit of a difficult bill, but I'm optimistic we're going to ultimately get there.
The hearing is next Thursday.
Yes. We've got to get it to both halls, get it signed. Okay. Continue to advocacy for a very strong focus program. It's always on my agenda. I mean, there's been times when there were threats to eliminate the focus program within the last 10 or 15 years. So we fought that back, continue to try to educate people on the potency of that focus program, and finally exploring the additional ways to do something with securitization to help break through the issue of stranded assets.
Mm-hmm. I'd just add, as mentioned, the governor and lieutenant governor are convening a climate task force this year. I'm very honored to be the assembly Democrat on that task force. We had our first meeting in December, and we'll continue throughout this year. There'll be opportunities for public comment and engagement, and we're really excited to be similarly creating a roadmap, hopefully, for other agencies, the legislature, in the budget next year, to put a plan into action to say, okay, we're going beyond the commitment to 2050 and putting some things into statute. So that is really exciting. Would really encourage folks to get involved with that and then keep showing up to advocate, of course, for those policies. Really important that the public engage on this issue. We're behind in the Capitol, and we need you to show up and tell us why it's important.
The closing word?
No pressure, huh? Well, I just want to say thank you. I mean, you look around, it's really impressive how many people are here and how many people care. I just want to let you know that we all have an obligation, right? Because we care. Because we want to see a better future, right? And there's not enough people in the world that do truly care. So I just want to thank you for caring, for wanting to make the world a better place, for showing up to these things, for sitting through to learn more, to develop, to understand these issues. And it's inspiring. It inspires us as policymakers, as lawmakers, to want to go back and put in the hard work and try to get things past the finish line that sometimes you're banging your head against the wall because why doesn't a good idea just happen, right? Why is there so much politics involved in this? But you inspire us to make sure that we want to go out and do our job because we all have an obligation to make the world a better place because we care. So thank you.
Thank you. That was an awesome message to end on, and I would just double down on that. I think the turnout here is tremendous. There's a lot of people here that care and can really make a difference in your little section of the world. So take that minute to go talk to your legislator, write a letter, get involved, and help Renew and these fine policymakers help us make a difference. So thank you for coming, and thank the panel. It was a great job, I think.
Thank you.
Thank you.